Wow, Paul is pretty bold, isn't he? Imagine for a second that you are the Galatian church. And someone stands up, as Brother Jim has just done, and has read this letter about your church. It's bold, it's intimidating, and hopefully, above all, it's motivating that some things need to change. Galatians is an awesome book of the Bible, full of well, really, the way that I view it is the themes in Romans kind of boiled down in Galatians, right? Galatians is like a smaller version of what the book of Romans is. And so it's a beautiful book full of grace and truth. And that's the goal of the book. Is to better understand grace. But he starts off and he lets Galatians know, you've got a long ways to go. I'll give you this tidbit, is that at the beginning of the book, you know, always as Paul opens up a book to, or a letter to a church, it's typically, you know, I thank God for you because of all these different things. And he does open up in a similar manner, but he says, I thank God for his grace. Right? And because Galatians, you really need his grace right now, is kind of what's implied there. And of all the things, you know, Paul couldn't think of a lot of great things to say, because when you miss grace, you've missed it all. And so this is going to be an important study that we're going to begin next week. And so I wanted to give you a preview of where we're going. I would love for you all to please read through the book of Galatians. Yes, you have been assigned some homework by your preacher. Reading through the book of Galatians. Those of you watching online, please do the same. And we're going to dive into what Paul has for us. There is an awesome verse that really is the theme. I'll read it to you here. It's Galatians chapter 5. In verse 1, that really sets the tone and the message of Galatians. Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be yoked again by slavery to sin. I love that. It's this idea that, why did I set you free? So that you can live free. So in other words, there's a way for us to experience the grace of God and the freedom that comes through his grace, and yet to still live as if we're slaves. And we'll look at that soon. I'm excited to share that with you. Ray, you said in your moment beautifully through your time this morning, and in this world we have tribulation, but take courage because Jesus has overcome the world. I love that transition where no matter what we go through or how deep our pain and sorrow is, there's still the translation that says, but take courage because there's a man named Jesus and his grace is enough for us. And you said this phrase literally that the love of Christ, I think is how you said, I'm kind of butchering your statement, but opens our eyes. And I loved that, the opening of our eyes. And so that's the title of my lesson this morning, is opening our eyes to greatness. I want to start by asking you, have you ever had a battle with someone, surely not the person sitting next to you, because you see value in something that maybe someone next to you doesn't recognize? And it may happen like this. You're cleaning the house. That's the way it always begins, isn't it? And you stumble across something, and you say, wow. And your wife says, no, we've got to throw it out. Excuse me, I said wife. I've labeled the characters now, right? Because typically that's the way it goes. I'm sorry, fellas, right? Like you have, it's my baseball cards. And she's like, are you seriously keeping all of those cards? And you're like, yes, because they're so valuable, right? And yet the person sitting next to you is going, yeah, and we've kept them for 30 years and they're doing us no good, gathering dust. But when it comes time to get rid of them, they're valuable, right? But it really is sad when someone, so I had some baseball cards, and I still have a lot, but a lot of mine got ruined and thrown out from years ago, and I've always been sad about the ones that I lost, even though I enjoy the ones I have. There's still like that remnant, you know, that you just kind of hold on to, and every now and then I cry myself to sleep, but it's okay. I've moved on. But it's sad when something is destroyed. My grandfather, Percy, had some really, really old coins, and he collected these all the time, like misprint, you know, pennies and the silver dimes and stuff like that. Like, he had all these things, and some of my cousins got into his coin collection and went down to the gas station and spent them on Coke. And so, yeah, horrible, horrible situation, right? And a lot of those coins are worth a lot of money now, or would be, if they weren't in a Coke machine somewhere years ago. And so I'm sure we all have stories like that, right? Where your mom or a spouse or someone close to you or cousins, whatever, find something that you see value in and they miss it, right? They don't see the value. And that's one of the worst feelings, is losing something because someone else didn't have their eyes open. But the truth is we're often blind to so much more, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, is opening our eyes to greatness. Because sometimes I think we miss it. We're a lot like the farmer in Scripture who enjoyed several great seasons of good crops, and he had all his crops stored away in these brand new barns. And in his great abundance, he says that all is well. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and what? And be merry, right? And let's just sit back. Everything's good. But then God spoke to him. He said, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And then whose will all these things be?" And so Jesus also added in Luke 12, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." And so this farmer, I love this metaphor where he is more concerned with his physical well-being than he is his spiritual well-being. He's more concerned with feeding his physical body than he is concerned with feeding his spiritual body. And it's easy for us to judge this man, to look at him and say, that's wrong, that's foolish, and how stupid that is. But in reality, there are so many of us that do the same thing. We have our eyes closed to the things that matter and open to things that don't. And this world has, look, it's that old illustration Satan, you know, comes in and he has walked into the store of life. And he's taken all the price tags and he switched them around. And so when we go into the store to buy certain things, to spend our money, to spend our time, to spend our energy on things, we'll see high value on things that are actually worth real little. And we'll see great deals low prices on things that are worth so much. Because Satan has come into the store and he's just switched all of these price tags around. And for so many people, I know you know a lot of people, you would look at and you would say, man, they need to hear this. You ever do that with a message? I do that, you know. I'm like, I'll get ready, I'm preparing in my sermon, and I'm like, man, I hope sister so-and-so is here, or brother so-and-so is here, or, you know, I hope that so-and-so of my family really watches this online and gets this. And so often, I miss the application myself, and my priorities are out of place when I realize that I need to open my eyes. Because Satan has fooled us all at some level. And this farmer, yes, his priorities were out of order, but the same thing is true with us in our world. I think it's safe to say, I don't know if you would agree, our world has been fooled into buying into things that are so invaluable, right? We've been fooled and we've been duped as a nation, as a country, and as a world. But here's the other thing. As human beings, this is our problem. This doesn't escape. This is not one of those lessons that's intended to go outside of these walls or outside of those watching. It's meant to hit for us at home. And so don't fall into the trap that I often do. It's time for us to open our eyes as individuals this morning to see the things that we may have missed, the things that we would throw out that are actually really valuable. Every commercial does this for us, don't they? Like, commercials are the worst. I told you that the time where it really hit the climax, like you see all these things, they're like, if you just buy this product, you will have all of the things that you want. You know, and they do all this stuff. But the worst one I ever saw was, if you just wear this deodorant, you can have any woman you want. And I thought, people are really going to buy into that? You know, I know my problem. I got to switch my deodorant. Like, when it's hit that level, we are really desperate, right? No offense. So we can't buy, but people, that's why they do those kinds of commercials, right? That's why beer commercials, you see all these beer commercials, and it's all, I don't know why, but they have, and understand, I'm not for this, obviously, but they have the best commercials. And I'm always like, wow, what an awesome commercial. And then at the end, it's always alcohol. And I'm like, really? You know? But they have these commercials with people sitting on a beach, and they're just all relaxed, and it's wonderful. And then they have that Corona Light in their hand. And it's like, if you just drink this, this is what your life will be like. And it helps. That's why the commercials keep doing that, folks, is because as silly as it is, it works in our community to present something and place value on something that really isn't that valuable. And we buy it hook, line, and sinker. And so these companies go, well, let's keep doing it. And they're getting better and better at it. That's why I always, whenever we could go to the movie theaters, spend way more money on popcorn and Coke than I ever should, because they have you seen all those commercials that they have at the beginning, the previews? And there's that one, the one that gets me is it's no words. You just hear popping. And then you see them filling the bag of popcorn, and you hear the sounds, and then the one that gets me is the Coke. Come on. If you've seen the preview, you know what I'm talking about. It's that cool glass, and they dump that water, and it ting, 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 and then, and they, shoop, 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 and it, and all the bubbles come up to the top. And then they have somebody, they make the sound, and somebody goes, ah. And I go, Avery, I got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. You know, come back with two large Cokes. They get me every time. And they're good Cokes, but they're not worth the price that you pay. I'm sorry, but they get me. And that's what happens to us seriously on a spiritual level, is we can end up placing things, valuable time and energy and effort on things that really don't matter that much when compared to other things. So Jesus, he teaches us over and over again. When we get busy and preoccupied with different things, for them in Scripture, it was farming metaphors, agricultural metaphors. You know, bread was that thing. We got to work for food. And so through that metaphor, Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man cannot live by bread alone. In other words, he's saying, it's not that it's not important, but it's not as important as you've made it out to be. And that's why he even tells you in other places, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. I'm going to take care of it. There's something more important. And if you'll focus on this, this will be supplied. These things will be taken care of. And he's calling for us to open our eyes to the importance, true importance of the right things. And man, this is a lesson that we need. In John 6 and verse 27, we hear him say, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which only the Son of Man will give. I love that passage. Again, Matthew 8 and verse 36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet what? He loses his soul. And so, you know, here we are at the beginning of a new year. People are consumed, obviously, right now. Politics are huge. Are politics important? Yes. I'm not saying they're not. But when held to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they pale in comparison, folks. Are the troubles and tribulations that we face in our life, are they important? Absolutely. Is the medical conditions that we face, are they serious? Absolutely. Is the pandemic a real problem? Absolutely. But it pales in comparison to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's not me saying close your eyes to these things, But it's me saying your focus better be here before it's there. And the way that I view these things better be through the heavenly lens and seeing things in a new light. So, let's open our eyes. I've got two things that I want to share this morning. Firstly, it's this. Let's open our eyes to the greatness of Christ. I want to do a little game with you. How many of you are sports fans, football fans? Let me see your hands. All right, so here's some trivia for you. Let's see if you can get it. This football player sat the bench in his first three seasons of college football. All right. Finally, on his senior year, he starts for the, drum roll please, Iowa Barnstormers. Yeah. The Iowa Barnstormers. How many of you ever heard of that team before? All right, so I'm doing pretty good on my stuff here. All right, so no NFL team really gives this guy a look in the draft. He's passed up. This man begged and begged for a team to look at him, and finally the Green Bay Packers promised to give him a look, but they only watched two or three plays with him because they already had a great quarterback. Who? Brett Favre. Yeah, all right, so you got Brett Favre, so no, we don't need him. So finally this football player goes and gets a job at a grocery store, and he's stocking shelves for $5.50 an hour. And finally, years later, here you go, he gets another offer, and he gets the starting job for the St. Louis Rams as their quarterback, and the rest is history. Some of you may already know. Hold on to it. Let me give a little more. This man retires after the 2009 season, having reached three Super Bowls and being selected to four Pro Bowls. He was the NFL's MVP, most valuable player, twice, and a two-time All-Pro, and was the MVP of the Super Bowl. Let me do my math here, 34. It's in Roman numerals, that's hard. He also holds the record for most career Super Bowl passing yards with 1,156. I don't know if that helps you, it didn't help me. His entire career is a great example of perseverance, and he's one of the best all-time comeback stories in professional sports. So what's his name? Kurt Warner. Well done. Proud of you. You passed the test. Kurt Warner. I love that story. I'm a comeback story kind of a guy. I love that. I know that this morning, though, on a more serious note, that today we are in mourning through the loss of a great leader, a wonderful person, of Drew Brees in his last game with the Saints. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It was a horrible ending, but man, he's the best quarterback. Sorry, that was horrible, wasn't it? Y'all were going, who's dead? No, I died a little bit on the inside, if that helps. So the Saints lose Drew Brees. Drew Brees, one of the best quarterbacks, sat the bench for years, you know, and finally, I think, was behind Phillip Rivers, you know, with the Chargers, and then got a shoulder injury and wasn't given much of a chance and comes out to be one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game. Right, and then he's taken on Tom Brady the other night. And though I'm not, I don't root for Tom Brady, I respect him. 199th pick in the draft and becomes one of the best quarterbacks that's ever played the game, if not the best. A small boy failed in grade school and was told by his teachers that he would never amount to anything. And this student ended up being the perhaps most brilliant man on the planet at that time. What was his name? Einstein fails grade school. And I believe there's a story, you can look it up later, where one of his teachers looks at him and says, "You'll amount to nothing." Isn't it crazy? So many people were blind to these men's talents. And believe it or not, listen to this, being blind to real and true value is nothing new. There were so many people even in Jesus' day that did the same thing. The Lord once asked them this question, "Did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." And so Jesus is quoting this Old Testament psalm that's referring to these people's rejection of him. And I love it. Webster defines cornerstone as a stone representing the starting place in the construction of the building. It's the single most important stone. And it's this picture, this metaphor. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of these hardworking bricklayers. And they're looking and they're selecting these bricks, these stones. And they're only keeping the very best and they're throwing out the rest. And through, even though they're in diligent search for the best, they end up throwing out the cornerstone. And they reject Jesus, the only one that their lives can be built on. And listen, a life that's not built on Christ as the chief cornerstone is going to crumble. And the same is true with a nation as well. Right? It's like the scripture calls it the fool's mansion that's built on sand. It's just sinking sand. It's not going to work. And so many lies today, folks, listen to me. This is the tragedy that we face, is that there are so many lies right outside these doors who are in search for an answer as they're sinking. There are so many people who have a real need for Jesus. But here's the problem. There's a lot of people in need of Jesus, but are blind to his greatness. They don't see the need. We do. We have that blessing. And that's why God gave us the commission. He says, you go into all the world and you teach them. You baptize them. You let them know the story. Because you have your eyes open. And they don't yet. And sometimes it's through having their eyes closed that they can finally see. You think about Paul or Saul on the road to Damascus. It took blindness for him to finally open his eyes to see. Sight is a wonderful metaphor throughout all of Scripture. But so many people today have their eyes closed to his greatness. They think that they're fine without him. Right? Or here's what it really is. I don't necessarily see people rejecting Jesus totally or Christianity totally. I just see this really weird thing happening in our society where we only select the parts of Scripture or the parts of Jesus that we really want. That is the craziest mentality. That I'm only going to take the parts of him that I like, or the commands that he gives that I like, or the things of him that I like. But the things that make me uncomfortable, don't force that on. And they hide it under the languages. Don't judge me, you hypocrite. But the truth is this. They think, well, I'm fine with just these few aspects of Jesus, but I don't need those other aspects of the gospel. Don't give it all to me. And they think they're fine, but they can have all the power and the money and the popularity and the education. You can have all the cars and all the homes and all the beauty that you want. And if you don't have Jesus, your life is still going to crumble. One day, if you don't have, and this is the hard message, you don't hear me preach it this boldly, but this is something that people need to understand, because there's this game going on that's being played with faith, right? This game that I can just take what I want and leave out the other things that I don't, but Jesus says, no, you follow me all the way, right? You deny yourself and you take up your cross. In other words, he's telling you, what you're going to do is have to crucify yourself for me every single day. That's what it means to follow me. Right? It's not a patty cake. It's not some game where you select the things you like and you throw out the rest. And one day, if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to lift up your eyes from hell and you're going to gladly trade all of the things that you thought were valuable for one more invitation song. You're going to trade all the things that you thought were valuable for one more chance to say, you know what? Maybe I need more than just saying I'm a Christian. Maybe I need to pick up my cross and learn what it really means to follow Jesus. One more chance to obey the gospel. So please take a look at the chief cornerstone. And if you've tossed him out, if you've rejected him, open your eyes to his greatness this morning and understand that without his blood and without his flesh, without the communion with him, without being baptized in, washed by his blood, there is no hope for you. As the old song says, we sing it all the time, right? On Christ the solid rock I stand, because all other ground is sinking sand. Does it mean that nothing else is important? No. But when compared to Jesus, that sinking sand, if you don't have your house built on him first. Open your eyes to the greatness of Christ. But secondly, and this is the one I've kind of hinted at it already, jumped way ahead of my notes, is open your eyes to every command of God. There was this fish house in Louisiana when I lived there. I love going to this fish house. It was like an old warehouse, and they redid it and turned it into a restaurant. And it was a all-you-could-eat buffet. But they had, like, it was all home cooking. But the fish was out of this world good. And I'm not, by the way, just, I don't know if you knew this about me. Fried fish is like a huge Louisiana thing. I'm not always a huge fried fish person. I don't like a fishy kind of a taste, you know? I like that fried fish. It was good. It was the Sterlington Fish House. And what I loved about it is we would go over there. It was my favorite buffet. We would go over there with members of the church. We used to have area-wide singings, you know, and so like all these churches, because it was a big old warehouse, all these churches would get together. We'd have just sing and sing and sing, and finally we'd all eat at the buffet. And it's just some of my best memories were in Louisiana were from there. But I love the singing and I love that stuff, but the food is what kept me coming back, right? Like, it was so good. The whole idea that you can just stand up and you can pick and you can choose and you can get exactly what you want and you can leave out all that green stuff, right? Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, it's not, like I said, a pick and choose kind of a thing. Who was it? I think I told you the story. It just kind of popped into my head. I can't remember who it was in history that got their own Bible and cut out all of the verses with Jesus. They liked the teachings of Jesus. They wanted the teachings. They wanted the morality, but there were some parts about Jesus being Lord they didn't believe, and so they cut out those scriptures. You know, and though we don't may physically do what this person did, we do that often subconsciously, don't we? Oh, that one is not as important as the others. And this says, no, we live by every word. We are to follow every command of God. As disciples, we don't go to the Hollis's, you know, Sterlington buffet and just get to pick and choose. When you follow Christ, that's why it's a denial. And that's why it's taking up your cross every day. Is because Jesus has some hard commands for us, folks. It's not a cakewalk. And he commands us to go to places we don't want to go to. He commands us to talk to people and share with people and love on people we would probably rather not. And he calls us to forgive people, even when they haven't asked for it yet. He calls us to love our enemies. He calls us to turn the other cheek. And he says, as he steps onto the stage, by the way, with the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus opens up his mouth. He flips the thinking of the world upside down with these so-called beatitudes. And he says, blessed are you when you're persecuted. When people are lying and saying all kinds of stuff that's not true, you know, you're blessed. I mean, these commands of Jesus are not easy, and I would much rather spit out a lot of those and keep the rest. You know, I like the, in this world you'll have tribulation. Well, I don't really like that part. But the second part, but take courage, I've overcome the world. I just want that one. But, you know, the whole blessed when you're persecuted thing, we can fix that. That's not the way. There's no optional commands with God. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, only what is good for good and necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. He is telling us that we need to watch every word we say. I don't like that command because I like to speak my mind. But that one applies to, they all apply for us. And so here's the thing that I think our culture needs to understand is, number one, they're not good enough to do it on their own. They're not strong enough to leave out certain parts of Scripture and to think that that's going to get them to where they need to be or to who they need to be. It's just not going to work. And if our culture can't learn those things, if we can't learn those things and share those things, then we're on sinking sand, folks, because Christ is the cornerstone. And so it's time for us to open our eyes. And again, it's so easy to apply this to our nation, isn't it? I already have. But for us to apply it to ourselves and to say, I've got to open my eyes to the greatness of Jesus. I've got to open my eyes to understand that every command he has is for me to follow. But also, here's the beauty, is that we don't just open our eyes to his commands, but we get to open our eyes to his grace. And His grace loves you even when you don't live up to the commands that He's given. And that's the beauty. No matter who you are or what you've done or what side of politics you're on or what Facebook posts you've posted that you probably shouldn't have, right? No matter what you've done or who you are or what you said or where you've been or what you're addicted to or what's going on in your life, the grace of Jesus is enough for you. And that's what we're going to dig into even more through our study in Galatians starting next week. So let's open our eyes together this morning. Think about it. If you need to respond, won't you come as together we stand and sing.